So we're on a series, what I would call commissioned from above, and the importance of commissioning. God doesn't always commission every individual, but he'll commission a work. He'll especially commission things when they're new or they're in a restorative mode. They haven't been around for a while. He'll recommission. Like when he commissions Zerubbabel and Joshua, the high priest, to go and rebuild the temple. They weren't laying the foundation. They were relaying it. Amen? And even when you're relaying a foundation that hasn't been around in a while, there'll be commission from above. Now, when God commissions something, it means heaven is authorized. The entire thing. When heaven authorizes your life or the work, corporately or individually, all of heaven will be behind you. And more importantly, the Holy Spirit will stand with you. He'll stand at your right hand. See, you sit with God at his right hand, but he stands with you at your right hand in the earth. That's why he said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When God stands with you at your right hand, things will happen all the time. Amen? And there is an importance to commissioning. Now, you cannot commission yourself. Nobody can do that. Amen? But we can believe God. Trust God, ask God, seek God. It's no different than being commissioned by a government in the earth to go do something. It's quite an honor to have a commission from heaven. It's the highest honor, really, to be commissioned from heaven because God approves. And when he approves, he'll give you his Holy Spirit in a way that the Holy Spirit may not be operating in the earth. He will come with power to authenticate what you're saying. He'll come with power to authenticate what you're building. In fact, he will come and build it for you. Hallelujah. Unless the Lord builds the house, we're laboring in vain anyway. Amen? I learned long ago, if we're just going to build something, let's just build it. But if God's going to build it, it's going to take some time because we're going to have to do it his way. And his way ain't your way. Yahweh is not your way. Amen? We're going to do it Yahweh or we're going to do it your way. That's a big difference. Unless you're a Southerner, we might call it Yahweh. When he called Isaiah up to the throne, and Isaiah saw him high and lifted up, he said, "Woe is me, for my eyes have seen the King. My eyes have seen the King." And God speaks from that throne and he says, "Who will go for us?" Which told me that Isaiah wasn't the only one up there. Because if it was just Isaiah, he said, "Will you go for us?" He called a whole company of people up there to behold him, to establish the witness. And he says, "Now who? Which one of you here will go for us?" That's a clarion call. He's asking who will go. He was wanting to give a commission. He wanted to know who is worthy to go for us. Who is worthy to speak for us. So we're going to look at Peter today, amen. And the apostles, but I'm just throwing him in because he was the point man. And God had done a lot to prepare him. So Matthew 28, verse 16. I'm going to show you how a commissioned man works. Because we are believing God to commission this body corporately. The whole early church was commissioned under an eyewitness by the Holy Spirit. That's why he fell on all of them. He didn't fall on a few of them. He fell on all of them. Amen. You know he fell on more than 12 because they were speaking 18 different dialects when the tongues of fire fell. Now, I'm not a mathematician, so to speak. Oh, I know a little math, but I know 12 and 18 are not the same. Amen. So Matthew 28, verse 16, he says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee." He told them to meet. He met them already in Jerusalem, but he said, "Go into Galilee and meet with me there." And he said he met them in the mountain where Jesus had appointed them, commissioned them, ordained them. Every apostle of the New Testament church scripturally was ordained personally by the Lord, for the exception of Matthias, who was ordained by the 11. Every other one was personally ordained. But the Lord himself, pretty powerful. Well, when the Lord ordains you, shaka, booyah, things will happen all the time. Amen? Say all the time. He appointed them, and he gives them the great commission. Verse 18, he says, came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go therefore to all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now that's the same time when he said, these signs will follow those who believe. In Mark 16, same commission. Commission. He says, go into all the world. And he said, the Holy Spirit was with him. And he said, the Lord was with him, confirming the word. See, under commission, he will confirm the word. He'll confirm the work. He'll confirm the doctrine. He'll confirm what you're carrying. Amen. There'll be a confirmation that's so loud, that so establishes what God is doing. I believe in this hour, God is fully, say fully, restoring the apostolic office, apostolic foundations, and apostolic government. There are forerunner apostles, but there are, as we know that we've been around here long enough, there are qualifications for an apostolic office that we are directly believing God for this grace to be reestablished in the earth. And the commission is one of the greatest. Because the commission authorizes it from above. I want to be authorized from above. Now every one of us are authorized to go into all the world. Every one of us are authorized to witness for him. Every one of us is authorized to lay hands and preach his gospel. You don't have to be called for that. That's just a universal clarion call. Amen? But then there is an authorization from above to establish his government. To establish offices, that requires authorization. Because what we want is the power that backs it up. We want the power that authenticates it. We want the glory that authenticates what you're saying. Jesus himself did not introduce the doctrine of the Father without power. He wouldn't have gotten anywhere. We looked at that last week. Amen. Said, if you cannot believe what I say to you, that I am the Son of God and have been sent from him and I have seen him, then believe the works, for they do testify of me. That kind of authenticating power comes only by the Holy Ghost, and it comes under and by way of commission. Amen. Even the Lord did not, knowing the Son of God, he knew he was the Son of God at age 12. He was subject to his parents and subject to the Father until the age of 30 before the Father commissioned him. Amen? So there is an operation under commission. And we're going to look at this. So we see the apostles were ordained, they were commissioned, but even Jesus took Peter aside and commissioned him a second time because he was the point man. God was going to use him to launch it. Peter, you know why? Because he was the one that would jump out of the boat. Amen? Peter was a man of many faults. Don't even think that you have to be perfect for God to use you. Everyone say, thank God for that. Say, I qualify. I qualify. But Peter had something that attracted the attention of God. And he was the one that was willing to step out when the others were not. Amen? And he also made more mistakes than everybody did as well. Always shoving his own foot in his mouth. Constantly getting in trouble. Speaking when the presence of the Lord would come down. God come down and they were called, Peter, James, and John were called upon the mountain of transfiguration to witness his resurrection before it even happened. He said, this is what it's going to be like. He was transfigured right in front of them. His raiment became white as snow. Peter goes, oh, let's build a tabernacle. The Father had to speak up. He goes, hush. It's kind of what he did. Hush. Shh, boy. There's a time to speak. And there's a time not to speak. Amen. Glory be to God. The time you need to speak and there's a time not to speak. And that was not the time to speak. Amen. So at the Sea of Tiberias, they're out on the waters. There's seven apostles there and Jesus sitting there over on the shoreline. They don't know it's him. And he says, have you any meat? They said, no, Lord. He said, cast your net on the right side. Always casting on the right side. So you cast your net on the right, out of the right hand of God. You're casting that net. Amen. And they caught a catch of fish. Peter could never catch fish unless the Lord was around. You get the Lord's presence around you, you'll be catching fish. You're going to catch a harvest, amen? Need him around. See, Peter had went back to what he knew. He went back to what was familiar. They were discouraged. I mean, the Lord had left them. And the Lord appears before them. And John goes, it's the Lord. And Peter jumps out of the boat. It's that quality to jump. It'll get you in trouble too, trust me. You got to get tempered after a while. It's not just the ability to jump. It's to jump with wisdom. Jump in with wisdom. Amen. Man, I could jump. I had that quality. It's mopping up the mistakes after I jump too soon. That was the problemo. Amen. And Peter runs to the Lord, and the Lord said, back up, Peter. Go get the catch. Trying to teach him something. Runs to the Lord. He goes, no, Peter, go back and help the disciples. Peter just left them all. You boys bring the fish. Come on, I'll be over here with the Lord. See, that's the thing. Some people just want to serve the Lord. They don't want to help. Ooh. They want to worship God, but I can't touch that. Nobody has a problem worshiping God till you ask them to do something. Go help drag the nets. No, I'm here with you, Lord. Peter, go back. So he goes back and grabs the nets and they pull him in. Amen. Now, the interesting thing is there already a coal of fire. He says, bring the fish. He already had fish. He said, now give them to me. 163, 153. He said, bring them to me. They bring him the fish. They lay it at his feet. He already had fish on the altar, on the coals. He said, come and eat. Man, this is the third time he showed himself alive. This is the second time they ate with him. I want to eat with him. I want him to cook me fish. Boy, don't you know that is some good fish. I mean, could you imagine the Lord in a resurrected state? I mean, if I came and testified to you, you'd think I was crazy. Yeah, the Lord, he appeared to me and he cooked me lunch. You'd think we were just crazy, but he did that often with them over the 40 days. And he had that fish there and they ate with him. Notice the provision was already there before he asked them to give what they had. He already had the provision lined out for you. Whenever God asks of something, he already has your provision on the fire. Amen. They laid the fish, you understand, they're all standing around, they're eating, and all those fish are laid up in front of him because that's what Peter knew, that was the familiarity, that was what he was going back to. Now the Lord's about to ordain him. Second time, him personally, he says, Peter, do you love me more than these? He wasn't asking him, do you love me more than these apostles? He says, do you love me more than this, Peter? This was your livelihood, this was your life, the fish. This is what you did. Are you going to go back to this or are you going to serve me? Do you love me? And he did it three times because he denied him three times. Do you love me more than this? Because I'm about to commission you to head up what's going on. You're going to be the point man. You think he was perfect? No, he fell up under the law. God had to raise another apostle called Paul to go get Peter and straighten him out. Paul was a bold man. How'd you like that job? Go in there and straighten the apostles out. Wait. Because I have plenty of people over the last 17 years that have felt called. They can't submit anywhere. Parking lot prophets, you might want to call them. They meet you in the parking lot and start prophesying out there. Because they can't be accepted, but they're going to call and straighten you out. You know how many times that spirit has come around? God has called me to straighten out the church. And I'm like, and where do you submit it from? What qualification do you have to straighten me out? You understand. So Peter, do you love me more than these? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. He was commissioning him. Personally, under an eyewitness, after he had already opened the books. So we see Peter, you know, Peter got six different visitations from the Lord during those 40 days. Say six. personal eyewitness encounters. Step twice, we know he ate with him. Appointed twice, once with the 11, once personally. He was ready. He had all the necessary components to establish the government for which they were about to birth. He had the eyewitness. The Lord Jesus himself opened the books to him, taught him out of Psalms, taught him out of the book of Moses, taught him out of the prophets. Why? How do you know? Because he quoted the very things the Lord opened to him, gave him his doctrine. He said, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine. Gave him the eyewitness. He said, wait for the promise of the Holy Ghost. But then he gave him the commission. He had every component. So when the Holy Ghost fell, the Holy Spirit, now this is very important you understand this. The Holy Spirit stands with you differently. He stands with you individually. He'll stand in your office, but he also will stand with you in a commission. When you're commissioned, it's the highest operation of God. Under commission, the Holy Spirit is authorized from heaven to stand at your right hand and authenticate what it is you're saying to the world. He authenticates with power. He authenticates with signs, miracles, and wonders. The kind of power that's not presently operating. And it's designed to let all know that heaven is standing next to you. That's different than a gift. A gift realm does not authenticate your life. You can be in sin and stand up there and operate in gift. You ever seen it happen? Here's somebody had a gift. And you know. They're shacking up. Your shack, my shack, or a bungalow. They are shacking up. And they come up here in a gift. And operate and like, how can this be? It just baffles people because the gift and calling of God is without repentance. That's different under commission. Tell you something under commission, you have, boy, God will deal with you strictly. Talking about spank you. He'll spank you good. He'll spank you when you're getting ready for a commission. Amen? He'll just pre-spank you to spank you. He said, feed my sheep, Peter. Well, you know, right out of the gate, bam, Holy Spirit falls, preaches his first message on Psalm 16. Concerning Christ, sitting at the right hand of God, preaches his first message on Psalms 110. Christ at the right hand of God, 3,000 people born again. Bam! Then he heals the man from Gate Beautiful. These things we've already covered. I want to get in some new stuff today. 40 years he sat at that gate. He was 40 years old. He was lame from birth. Boy, you get the kind of anointing for that. You got it, baby. Amen. Because I guarantee you that man survived 1,000 prayer lines. He said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto you. Rise up and walk. And that man started running around the temple, leaping and praising God. And it caused such a commotion that at least 5,000 people came around. Because then Peter sees his opportunity. He's another man now. This turned him into another man. It wasn't just the Holy Ghost upon him. It was everything. It was the Holy Ghost. It was the eyewitness. It was the doctrine that he carried. It was the word. It was his testimony. He was under commission from above, carrying the doctrine of the Lord, carrying eyewitness testimony. All he had to do is just stand up. And bam, one miracle causes a crowd and 5,000 people born again. Say 5,000. I mean, it was on. It turned him from a man that denied the Lord 3 times into a commissioned man, bold as a lion, stood up in front of the high priest and said, be it known unto you all, whether it's right in sight of you or not. We are here to bear testimony. We are all eyewitnesses of his majesty. He said, we are witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit. See, that's what's different. That's going to make the difference. When you're going to shift a nation, you're going to change a nation. Listen, you're not going to change the nation. You might solve a few problems politically, but that's not how you're going to. You're going to change the infrastructure of a nation. It's going to take some serious power. It's going to take serious corporate structure of heaven coming down into the earth. It's going to take the kingdom of God to be at hand. It's more than just a move of God in a service. It's going to take his kingdom coming down. With the authorization of that, that's why we need commissioning. Who will go for us? I believe God is saying that today. Calling a bridal company up, say, who will go? Who will go for us? Better count the cost before you answer that question. Better count the cost before you start asking something. We started asking for some of this stuff 10, 12 years ago. Been on the journey ever since to find out where it lives, how it operates, how it functions, what releases it, what are the keys that release it, what are the blueprints, how does it function. See, the commission is the authorization of heaven. Apostolic testimony is the catalyst that unlocks the heavenly treasures, that unlocks the inheritance. And the Holy Ghost is the one that establishes the work in the earth. Amen? But when you get all this together, it works. This is what the Lord has us on. Listen, we can play church. We can do church. We can do all the things. We can do activity. You can have 100 activities if you want. There's a lot of different things you can do in church. But we are locked in to what God wants us to do. Amen? We're locked into birthing. We're locked in to God's ways. I want what they want. Everyone says, well, he's going to do it again. If he's going to do it again, he's going to do it the way he did it before. Because he doesn't change. He didn't change it for Moses. He didn't change it for the early church. He's not going to change it for the last day church. He still has a way in which he approaches humanity to change the fundamental spiritual atmosphere of a nation. To change it, we need the authorization of heaven. Amen. Go to Acts chapter 5. This is where it gets good. Boy, he starts building. And that mantle on Peter, that commission starts building. Their call was to discover what all this was. They started as the apostles. It branched out into prophets and evangelists and teachers and helps and governments. It had to begin to multiply. That government formed in Jerusalem, then it formed in Antioch. They had all of it there in Antioch. They had a full, functioning, apostolic government in Antioch. So much so that that's where they commissioned Paul. Paul was commissioned directly of the Lord under an eyewitness. But then when he got separated for a specific work, the apostolic council separated him for that. Him and Barnabas, you remember? That was all done in Antioch. They had it there. The church was forged and formed this way. This is what we're looking for. We're wanting this to be reestablished. We want a true apostolic government with all the operations flowing, functioning, authorized by heaven. Let me tell you something. When you get authorized by heaven, you're authorized. Peter was authorized by heaven. That's why the man, 40-year infirmity, got up. He was operating under that. Amen? Now watch what happens here, Acts 5. I like this. Verse 12. In the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all in one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest did no man join himself to them, but the people magnified. See, there's a magnification of that office. And that's coming, my friends. We're hearing more and more and more and more. There's already apostolic this, apostolic that, apostle this, apostle that. Listen, there are fundamental components of an apostolic office, and when it's there, the signs of an apostle will be among you. When it's there, it'll be done right. Amen? That's what we want. I don't want to go half-cocked. I don't want to have a part. I want the whole. I'm like, oh, if you're going to send us, send us. I don't want to just go half-cocked. You're going to do it, authorize it from heaven, and we will sit here. Until you do. Amen? I'm telling you, just like Peter, when he authorized from heaven, we'll all be changed in one day. You become another man. This whole place will become another man. Everything will become brand new. That's what I want you to lock into. That's what you're here for. We are here corporately to birth this. There are going to be more ministries. You think God will use me? Man, he's going to work you to no end. You just wait. You'll be telling him, Lord, enough, enough. He said, no, get up there. Go preach the words of this life. Verse 14, this is what I'm ready for right here. Are you ready for this? This is commission right here in the streets of Jerusalem with the biggest religious spirit. See, that God had already shifted out of the law, but that law had not disappeared out of Jerusalem. It was still well in effect, and it was centered there. You talk about people going to the city, well, that religious spirit, we can't get anything done. Peter under commission could get it done. Verse 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes of both men and women. Boy, they were saving them in the midst of the spirit of religion, the political spirit, every other spirit. They were getting the job done because they were under commission. Amen. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets. Oh, love it. Laid them on beds and couches. Love it. That at least the shadow of somebody at Houston Revival Center passing by might overshadow some of them. When the shadow they were came was in, the glory of God was on him. That shadow is his glory. The glory come out of the prayer calls and the glory was on him. He'd walk in that glory. Anybody touching that glory would get up. And he healed them all, it said. The Holy Ghost is with him in commission. You have to understand, he had every component necessary for this. He had the eyewitness. He had the doctrine. He had the Holy Ghost. He had the commission. Everything was right. Was he perfect? Absolutely not. Was he powerful? Absolutely. Bold as the lions. Yeah, the Holy Ghost was there. Lay them on beds and couches and the glory of God come on. See, he learned that from the Lord. Said the power of the Lord was present to heal. He'd walk through and anybody around him would get healed. There's a glory that comes on you with the power of the presence to heal. It'll come up into a room. That kind of glory. Now that glory will come up on that even in the realms we walk in. But man, when you have that on you, they'll bring them out from the city on beds. And not just that city. They're bringing up the surrounding city. The word got out. They didn't even have TV in those days. Listen, when you got a commission, Holy Spirit will see the word gets out. Amen. All God had to show me was who will go for us. That's plenty enough for me. You extend the invitation. That's all I need. Hallelujah. I don't care what it's going to qualify. I already been through 75 days of fire. So, you know, qualification is qualification. You're either going to pay the price or you're not going to pay the price. You're either ready to count the cost or you're not ready to count the cost. You're going to serve the world or you're going to serve God. To the shadow of he, and there came also a multitude of cities around about in Jerusalem, bringing sick folk, and then they're vexed with unclean spirits. They're in full-blown revival now in the streets of Jerusalem. Wow! What a place. The chief priest lost it. Did we not straightly warn you not to do this? You filled all Jerusalem with your doctrine. Sure did. Amen. Then God started branching him out. Now I'm going to show you different ways which he did this. Go to Acts chapter 9. Whole cities converted by a commissioned man. Whole cities. Holy Spirit knows exactly how to do this. Listen, when you're under commission, Holy Spirit will set it up for you. There were times that Peter, all he had to do is just show up. You don't work as hard under commission. Holy Spirit's the one doing the job, amen? All you do is get you in position. Hallelujah. Acts 9, verse 32. This is a powerful, powerful verse right here. That it came to pass, verse 32, Peter passed throughout all quarters. See, I'm telling you, God's with him. You run. See, Peter's running now. He was sitting at one time waiting. See, there's a time you wait, and then there's a time to run. And it came down also to the saints which dwelt in Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. Could you imagine being in a bed for 8 years? I remember when Pastor Chuck and I and our friend, we were out on the lake, and Chuck decided he was going to be Mario Andretti on the water. Man, that boy was just crazy. Turned into another man. He got on a jet ski. I'm like, one of those wave runners, I'm like, who is this guy? Mild manner Clark Kent. Turned into Superman on the water. I mean, he'd run straight at you and turn. I'm like, and him and Jimmy Miller just going crazy. I'm like, I'm going to back off of these two for a minute. You know, I thought I was crazy. I mean, he wasn't Pastor Chuck, I'll tell you that. Well, they end up having a wreck. I mean, Jimmy ran right over him. Chuck was going, oh, just get me to the truck. I'll be okay. I had to pull him out of the water. He was, what was all that? How many cracked ribs you have? Cracked pelvis bone? Broken, four ribs broken. Just be okay. Just get me home. I'll be okay. The guy at the place, get him an ambulance now. He spent, what, how many, 6 weeks in one of the beds? He said, I'll never do that again. Having people help him go to the bathroom, that's not fun. When somebody else has to help you do everything, you can't do anything. This man, Aeneas, 8 years, who was going to contend for him? He'd have spent the rest of his life like that had not Peter showed up. That's the glory of what we're after. That's the glory of it. The glory we're after is, what is the keys that make this work? What is the blueprint that causes this to work? I mean, I know we've prayed, we've fasted, we've repented, we did all that, but what makes this gospel really work that can change fundamentally, transform a city? What makes it work? Peter was not perfect, but he was commissioned. He was commissioned under eyewitness testimony. He was commissioned with the doctrine of the right hand of God, and the Holy Spirit dealt with him as a commissioned man. Wow. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas that had made his bed 8 years. Verse 34, and Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, make your bed. He arose immediately. He didn't even lay hands on him. He just spoke to him. He learned that from the Lord. There's time the Lord's laid hands on people. Sometimes the Lord just spoke directly. Get up! You ever done that? Get up! And they sit there. I said get up! It's the difference. Listen, my friends, mark my word. There's a day you're going to get it and stand in front of somebody and say, get up! And they're going to snap, crackle, pop. And they're going to stand up, and you're going to be just as surprised as they are. Even the devils are subject to us. Yeah, because you're under a commissioned government. When you're under a commissioned government, it's going to work for you just like it works for the point man. Because it's going to be a government. That's what we're asking him for. That's what we do, what we do. That's why we hold those constitutions. That's why we sell our life out. We want the government. Do you approve of this constitution? He approves. And he commissions, he authorizes it. Once it's authorized, the Holy Spirit is authorized to work on your behalf differently than even he works under your office. He that has the ears to hear, just let him hear what I just said. Every one of you have anointings in this room. I have an anointing. But it's not enough. Because if it was enough, the job would get done. This is our pattern. Within these pages, there's a blueprint that's forged and formed. It was brought out of these pages. It's all up in that prayer room. It's all up in those constitutions. It was a prototype that God hadn't changed his ways from Moses to the Lord to Peter to the apostles to Paul. He commissions from above. I realize to get what we want, we're going to need this. Yes, we can be anointed. Yes, we can continue to have great services. Yes, we can preach his word. We can even go on television. Say, oh, what great revelation. But it's not going to change anything until it gets fully commissioned. When it gets commissioned, that word becomes flesh. This word that we teach and preach becomes flesh and it dwells among man. Whole different operation. I'm trying to set a compass within all of us. We're going there corporately. Amen. Lock on. Amen. Lock on. Well, that's a little heavy for Sunday morning. Get used to it. Because we're not backing up. If any man draw back my soul, I have no pleasure. I am not here to entertain. We are not here to play games. We're too far into this. Amen. Gone too far. Sink, swim, I don't care. We are locked in. Amen. Notice what happens when he arose immediately. Oh, I love this. Now there, he didn't even preach the word. He didn't even bear his testimony. He just said, Aeneas, get up! Under commission, Holy Spirit can use all three of them. Holy Spirit can use either your testimony, he used the testimony of your word, or you can just speak. Get up! Notice what happens. Verse 35, and all, say all. No, I'm not a rocket scientist, but A-L-L means all. All that dwelt in Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Saw him healed and turned to the Lord. Saw Aeneas, they all knew. And they turned to the Lord. You think they would have turned to the Lord if he'd have remained on that deathbed? On that bed of affliction? We go in and we pray. Well, have faith, brother. God bless you. It's up to you. No! Think they would have turned? No. They turned because of what happened. Follow that in. And right after that, he goes down and raises Tabitha, Dorcas, from the dead. Next few verses, raises her from the dead. Same thing Jesus did. Peter learned. Put them all. They were all howling and weeping. Oh, look at the beautiful garment she's made. We're so sad to see her leaves. And Peter, get him out. Get him out of the house. All of you. Shoo. Walks up in there. Tabitha, arise. She was raised from the dead. Man, it was on. Amen. Verse 40, Peter put them all forth, kneeled down, prayed, turning to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. Oh, man. How'd you like to have been the one to present her to everybody? Talk about the opportunity when you make it a feast. Call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. They cannot recompense you. You'll be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. But call them. If you want to spread a real table, spread this one. What do you think you're going to serve off? Make a feast for the poor, the maimed, the lame, and blind. Blind, here's some eyes. Poor, here's some money. Lame, be made whole. Deaf, hear. How would you like to have that table? Man, I don't fully know the joy of that. I've seen some healings in my ministry, but I want to see those kind every day. I want to see the joy it brings to somebody that was going to spend the rest of their life in that wheelchair. I want to see my nephew get out of his wheelchair. I want to see that. I want to see this gospel not just to be preached in an American church, not to just show and look real good, everybody be happy. People who had it together still have it together. I want to see the poor, the maimed, and the lame, and the blind. Bring them out. I want to see that. I want to see us as a body go and speak to them, and I decree, get up! I want to see you run. It happened! It worked! It worked! Because we are a commissioned government from above. That's what I want! That's what we're after. That's going to change the fundamental. You know why? It's going to set up a new prototype for what ministry looks like. Right now, every preacher that ever gets born again and grows up, they want to see the television guy. Oh, that's what ministry looks like. That's what God looks like. Let me pattern after him. Television guys are great. Paul came. You know what he said? I don't come to you in word only. I come to you in demonstration and power. You change a new blueprint. Amen. Tabitha gets up. Verse 42, this was known throughout all of Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. God never designed this gospel to be preached without this kind of power. Now I want to show you one more. We're going to close with this. Go to Acts 10. I loved it. Could you imagine the apostles' roundtable? How are we going to open the Gentile church up? Number one, they weren't even looking to open the Gentile church up. In fact, God had to go to Peter three times and drop a vision down. 4 foot of hooves, and he says, not so! Unclean, God! Unclean! Not so! Not so, God! I'll touch nothing unclean. God said, what I call clean, you call unclean? God is setting Peter up all the while an angel showing up at Cornelius' household, telling him. Now notice this, you're gonna like this. Watch this. Acts 10 verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. Now I want you to read the Bible the way the Holy Spirit writes it. Amen. Acts 10, 1. A centurion of the band called the Italian band. So he's over 100 soldiers. A devout man, one that feared God with all his house, Gentile man, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him, saying to him, Cornelius. When he looked at him, he was afraid. He said, what is it, Lord? He said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. Wow. Now, he says, now send to Joppa, call one Simon, whose surname is Peter, and lodge with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell you what you ought to do. Now, let me ask you a question. This man feared God, knew God, prayed to God, right? Why couldn't he just preach the gospel to himself? Why couldn't the angel just come in there and unload the gospel? Why did he even need Peter? He feared God. He already caught the attention of God. He already caught the favor of God to such a level it sent an angel. How many of you get angels show up in your room? He said, your alms. God's heard you. You found favor. Your alms and your prayers that come up before God. Why didn't God say, Cornelius, you are now the apostle to the Gentiles. Bam! Because that was such a revelatory operation, such a brand new thing that had not been heard of, that God was going to directly approach the Gentile world, that God needed a commissioned man to do that. That's why he did it. When God gets ready, you need to understand, when God gets ready to do something fresh, new, powerful, that's going to fundamentally shift the operations and the way we do church and the way church is administrated, then God is going to bring a commissioned man onto the scene, or a commissioned operation, a commissioned government to do that. That's what commission is for. He needed an authorized man to come and speak to Cornelius. But the Holy Ghost was setting the whole thing up. All the time he's convincing Peter, you got to go, Peter, to a man of an unclean house. Because they didn't go into Gentile houses. And first thing he did, he walked in, he goes, you know, it's unlawful for me to be here. First thing he did, he walked into the house. But God told me I need to be here. God told me that what I call unclean, I now to call clean. You swine-eating Gentiles. I'm just paraphrasing. Even the commissioned man had to be convinced by God. God was going to do something extraordinary. Something that didn't even enter the hearts and minds of the apostles. He was going to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that they ask or think. Exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that they ask or think. He was going to come in and open the gospel to the Gentile world. They weren't looking for that at all. In fact, Peter had to go explain himself after this happened. He had to go before the high court. Had to go back in front of all the apostolic council. Give an account of what happened. Give an account. Now, I want you to notice something. He tells them what you ought us to do. Cornelius says that. He says, go and get Peter, and he'll tell you what you ought to do. Now, when Peter is, after all this happens, when Peter, given his representation to what had happened to the apostolic council in Jerusalem, when he got back there, he said something different. So I want you to move fast forward for a minute to Acts chapter 11. I want to know what he said, because the Holy Ghost was setting it up. The Holy Ghost is going to set you up. You already hear my teaching on the Capernaum inheritance. It's in the single series somewhere. Behold the mirrors. How the Holy Spirit set up so many encounters with the Lord Jesus, with so many heads of the city. Police, chief of religion, chief of politics. Amazing what he did. Holy Spirit will set these things up under commission. Understand? Now watch this. Acts 11, verse 9. But the voice again answered me again from heaven. What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common? This was done three times. Peter is rehearsing what happened. He goes, I got a vision. And basically this vision was telling me that you got to call clean out what's unclean. Verse 12, and the Spirit bade me to go with him, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me. And we entered into this man's house, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house. Now Cornelius begins to tell them what happened, which stood and said to him, send men to Joppa. Now verse 14, this is what the angel said to Cornelius. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and thy household shall be saved? And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them. What this angel told Cornelius, he came and said, Cornelius, I'm going to send a commissioned man to you. And what he's going to say to you, he's going to show you how you and your whole household will be saved. But Peter doesn't even get to preach salvation to them. He tells them, this man's going to speak words to you. And Peter says, when I got there and began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell. He didn't get to finish his message. He probably prepared all night for that one. I've never done that. Well, under commission, the Holy Spirit said, you have no idea how long I've waited for this. Just show up. All you got to do is show up, Peter. I got this one. Listen, there's time the Holy Ghost is going to say, I got this. All you got to do is show. I'm going to make it real easy for you. I mean, the birth, the Gentile church, I would have had to fast 40 days and 40 nights with just water. I called all the intercessors together. I would have wrote a constitution for it. See, he had all that stuff we need. He had. You need to understand that. When he showed up, he already had things we don't have yet. You need to understand what he went with. Peter just didn't get up and went. He was sent under commission. Notice now, he didn't do one miracle for the Gentile. He didn't even get to preach. Oh, he got the reference, the prophets, and then bam, it hits. Notice what he says. Go back to chapter 9, we'll close. See the importance of it? Who will go? Here I am, Lord. Send us. Here we is, send us. See, what we're believing for here is corporate, not individual. That means you operate in a corporate government, things will happen that just didn't happen before, amen? So Peter gets into Cornelius' house, verse 34. Peter opened his mouth. No, Peter opened his mouth? Find the biggest mouth, we'll use him. We'll have to tame his tongue, but we'll use the biggest mouth. He's going to use, somebody's going to speak. So Peter starts talking about the Lord and what's going on. They walked with him and did all this. And now notice he gets down into verse 38. And God, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, and God was with him. And we are witnesses of the things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Now he is going to speak directly of his eyewitness testimony. Watch what he says, because the angel, what did the angel say to him? He shall tell thee words, Acts 11:14, whereby thou and thy whole household be saved. He's going to tell you words in your whole household. Now, Cornelius was over 100 soldiers. Your whole household is going to get saved. You, Cornelius, and the whole Gentile church are going to get born again. You're going to birth. He's going to tell you words. These are the words. Now, notice the words. I like it. God's going to get something to do. I need these words. Everyone say, I need these words. Say, I need these words. I don't have these words yet, but I'm going to have these words. God's going to send me somewhere and say, just speak these words and watch what I do. So let's see what words he spoke. Everyone say, that's good preaching. Verse 40. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. So he bears witness of his resurrection. Now then he bears witness. Acts 10, verse 41. To my knowledge, he didn't preach one message. Not to all the people. Notice what he's using now. The Holy Spirit's using his eyewitness testimony. But unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And commanded us to preach that he was the God of the living and the dead. The judge of the quick and the dead. He said, we ate and drank with him. We saw him in his resurrection. He didn't do a miracle like he did in Joppa, like he did in Sarone. He didn't do a miracle like he did in Lydda. He didn't even preach like he did in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4. He didn't preach. He was just about to preach. See, this is what the Holy Spirit, all he needs is a commissioned man. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that is he which is ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead. Verse 43, to give. Now, he didn't even get to open the books. Verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness, and through his name, whosoever believeth him shall be receive the remission of sins. And while Peter spake these words, he didn't even finish. I believe it's going to be like that. We're going to be in the middle of a message and poof, there he is. While he spake these words, the Holy Spirit, all he had to do, what I want you to see here, in Lydda and Sarone, he did a miracle. In Acts chapter 2, he did them all. He spoke the eyewitness, spoke the doctrine. Acts chapter 3, miracles. 4 chapter miracles. Here he just said, we ate and drank with him. Just gave his testimony, eyewitness testimony. You're talking about birthing the Gentile church here. What happens? The Holy Spirit fell. Why couldn't he have done that for Cornelius? Because he was a commissioned man. And the Holy Spirit was authorized to operate on the behalf of Peter under commission. So much so, he set the whole Gentile thing up. Set Peter up, set Cornelius' house up, and all Peter had to do is show up and said, we ate and drink with him. Basically, that's what he said. Holy Spirit, that is enough. You gave your testimony. Your eyewitness testimony is enough to birth the entire Gentile church. Didn't even break the bread of doctrine with them. And bam, the Holy Spirit hits. And they're all saved. Is that powerful or what? That's the difference. That's what we're moving into in this hour. There was a man, I can't remember his name, had a vision of a giant, a sleeping giant. What was that guy's name? That sleeping giant turned to sewer and he stood up. This is back in the Kenneth Hagin days, and he stood up. And that giant, he released all these people, and all they did is they would go and say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the glory of God would fill whole cities. He saw it. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is the final day commissioning of the bridal company of God. Commissioned under power, commissioned under glory, commissioned under the grace of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, so let it be again. So let it be, Father, according to your word, according to the blueprints of how you birthed it. Let it birth again. Let there be commission again. Who will go for us? Grant us those things to go with. Grant the eyewitness. Grant the doctrine. Grant the Holy Spirit signs, miracles, wonders. Restore the office. Restore the government. We decree the restoration of these things into the earth. We stand and keep your word unto the very end. We keep these blueprints. We keep these keys. We keep these mysteries. We keep these operations to understand that we are waiting our time. Just like the Lord in Nazareth was waiting his time. Just like the apostles in the upper room had to wait. Just like Moses had to wait until the commission. We wait to go with all that you have for us. We wait to go with the right components. We wait to go with what the early, with our fathers went with. We wait to go with fullness, with the apostolic blueprint. We have your words. You've granted us your words. We have the keys. Grant the remaining keys. Grant, Father. Grant the eyewitness testimony again. Grant commission from above. Grant the authorization for this government to establish again into the earth. Signs, miracles, wonders, and mighty deeds to once again be in operation. For your glory, for once again be in operation.